You know what time it is?
What time is
it? It's Tebow time. Sports Reference.
Woo, we're cool.
Yeah, we're pretty cool. January 9th, 2012. I still say 2012, not 2012. Or 2012. Is that what people say, 2012?
I'm not sure where it is. I was all gung-ho 20, and then I even catch myself still saying 2000 sometimes. I don't know.
I like 2000.
They're all acceptable.
I think we're going to say 2000 for the rest of the century. So unless I make it to that next one.
You mean the rest of your life? Okay.
Hey, you never know.
True.
120.
Who knows what modern medicine could do for us.
Yeah. How's it going, everybody? It's AJ. Say hi.
Hey.
We've got news, and we're going to start the first half of our Game of the Year countdown. We got our 10 through 6 picks, huh?
Correct.
Right. And then we'll do our week in gaming and talk about the news. That'll be the show. I can't get my smart cover to do that.
You just fold it. I mean, this is your smart cover. I just did it. I'll teach you later if you'd like.
All right. Anyways, I'm sorry. He turned the smart cover on the iPad into like a stand, and I don't know how to. All right. So start with the news.
Okay.
Is that my iPad also?
Yes. I put the news on it.
I see.
So I don't have to change the screen on the computer.
So you can't accidentally stop the recording and ruin everything?
Correct.
All right. So what's up?
So.
Yo.
You want to talk about the Soul Calibur 5 ads?
I guess. There's really only one.
Boobs.
The Japanese ad is just a pair of tits.
Yep.
I guess classy. That's how they're going to make people want to buy Soul Calibur. I mean, what else are they going to say at this point?
Well, here's what surprised me. The game has gone gold. It comes out January 31st.
Oh, really?
Did you even know it was close to coming out?
No. I thought it was a bit away.
Yeah, though, like summer maybe. No, it comes out in like 2 weeks.
Is Ezio the only secret character?
That I've heard of. I have to admit, I haven't been following it too closely and kind of over Soul Calibur.
I know, I kind of am too. I almost kind of want it, but I don't know.
I don't.
No, you're done with that?
I think so.
Fair enough.
Again, Mortal Kombat's ruined me, and no Japanese dev is going to learn from that.
You know, who knows? Maybe it's going to have a very robust single player. Soul Calibur always had a pretty good single player.
It was okay, but I feel like it's been aped, and they're not going to...
Not going to step up their game?
Correct.
They always had a good creative character mode.
They did.
But, yeah. I don't know. I'll check it out at least. At least rent it from the Red Box or something.
There you go.
All right.
I'll do that.
Next.
So they've announced LEGO Batman 2 DC Super Friends. It's kind of Justice League, but not.
Well... Who else is in there? Superman,
Wonder Woman, Green Lantern, Lex Luthor, and the Joker.
Sounds a lot like Justice League.
Yeah, I know. I don't know.
It sounds like they just wanted to have Batman's name there more because people like Batman the most.
Right, exactly. Did you know these games still don't have online co-op?
I did not.
Yeah, I was surprised to find that out as I was reading about this.
Interesting. For a game in 2012.
Yeah, like I thought like the Harry Potter ones did maybe. I don't know.
I'm waiting for, now that they're doing Lord of the Rings Legos, I'm waiting for that game.
Yeah.
Lego.
That'd be great
the
playing
Hobbit.
That with like the soundtrack playing and everything.
Oh, yeah.
That'd be awesome. That'd be fantastic.
Well, you can do Lego the Hobbit, then you can do Lego Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
You could split that up even because there's so much to do there.
Exactly.
They'll be busy for a while. Lots of money to be made.
Exactly. Then we found out in Game Informer, after everyone's complaining, there is in fact a new strategy-based XCOM title in the works at Firaxis, of all places.
That's cool, developer, but I know nothing about XCOM.
Yeah, no, we kind of missed this. This was before we got into PC gaming. This was like in the earlier part of the 90s.
Okay, yeah, I know nothing about XCOM.
Turn-based team squad strategy thing. You played Fallout Tactics, right?
I played Star Trek Away Team.
Okay. It's like Star Trek Away Team.
It's like Star Trek
better.
Away Team. Anybody else played that one?
The classic Star Trek Away Team.
I like Star Trek Away Team.
But anyway, it's coming to PC and consoles. They released a screenshot today so you can kind of get an idea of the interface. Should be good. I mean, Firaxis knows what they're doing.
Cool, cool.
Speaking of Star Trek, although Star Trek Online goes free to play January 17th, if you ever had an account at any point, you can start playing right now.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
I won't right away.
Right.
Maybe eventually. I don't know. I mean,
I'm busy.
I'm going to be busy with these kind of games. Because, like, I'm probably going to play Star Wars up until like Diablo 3 comes out, really. Then I'm going to play Diablo 3 for a while.
Man, you're just firing on all cylinders right now, because we might be playing Diablo 3. Well, actually, we're probably not. February 1st, according to Best Buy.
It's weird, because Best Buy had a giant, like, billboard in their store said midnight sale February 1st.
Yeah, with, like, a countdown clock, and, like, this was not, like, some little fluky thing.
But
Blizzard came right out and said it's false.
Well, they could just be saying that because they haven't announced a release date or something.
Could be.
It seems like a weird thing for Best Buy to do without some good idea. Like, they wouldn't just guess. Although, first of the month release dates are usually suspect, as far as I'm concerned.
What day of the week does that fall in, I wonder?
So, that makes no sense.
Yeah, because the Tuesday would be the day, you'd think.
Yeah, so, I don't know. And moving on. I mean, it's got to come out soon. That seems real soon, though, doesn't it?
Yeah, like,
I feel like they would announce
that's
it.
That's not enough time to, like, get the hype train.
Right,
really,
that'd be weird to
say
it's release. Coming out in 3 weeks. Like, whoa, oh, well, God, okay.
Shit, I gotta go pre-order it or right. something, right? I mean, I'd be happy with that. I'm excited to play it.
Yeah, I would not mind.
Right.
I did not object.
So they also announced a Final Fantasy 13 2 demo coming out in the next week or so. Here's another one that blow your mind. You know this game also comes out January 31st? Here?
Yeah, I knew that was coming out soonish.
I had no idea.
Well,
I think I just assumed it was going to take 4 years.
No. I think that's the whole point of this one, is that it won't.
That's good.
And it's going to have towns and all those things people like. Well, who knows? It might be interesting. Even if the characters still look about as generic as ever.
Well, that's the thing, though. Like, even if they fix all that gameplay conceit stuff, now I have no idea what's going on with the story and the characters.
I think I do. I beat the game, and I'm not quite sure.
Exactly.
I don't know. It's
they
would have
been better
bullshit.
Served to create an original story in that world with some new characters, I think.
Oh, it is. You play as kind of... The two characters I think you
is
play
as... Is that girl
as...
with a really annoying voice still in it?
No, she's a crystal now.
Oh, good.
Yeah, she's done. Spoiler. No, it looks like the main character is some new guy, and the party member is Lightning's sister. I don't even know if Lightning's playable in the game.
Lightning's sister was a crystal, right?
Yeah, she got better.
Okay.
She became not a crystal anymore. And, yeah, I'm not going to spoil all.
Try to explain this?
I don't know. I really doubt anyone cares about the Final Fantasy 13. Just in case somebody's like, I'm going to beat Final Fantasy 13 before Final Fantasy 13 2 comes out.
Probably shouldn't be listening. Sorry.
Yeah, I didn't spoil much.
All right. They've announced a Mortal Kombat Complete Edition. Of course, complete with a K.
Why not?
Basically, it's going to have all the DLC. Soundtrack will be in there, too.
I wanted to get some of that, so I never downloaded Rain.
Yeah, or Freddy Krueger.
Well, I'm more interested in Rain. But doesn't it also come with Mortal Kombat the movie, like the first one?
Oh, does it? I
think it
that.
Does.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, that's funny.
And finally, they seemingly inadvertently released the trailer for the Xbox Live Arcade House Party 2012, which, among its games, the ones that I think are of note, are going to be Alan Wake's American Nightmare and I Am Alive. They didn't say a date, but if it falls in line with last year's House Party, it's February, is a lot sooner,
right.
I would have thought, for both of those
games. Interesting, because both of those games are very the games, you know what I mean? Like, they're kind of, it's almost
they're
like
more substantial.
It's something that you would almost expect to see at retail.
Right. Yeah, the other games are EA's Warp and, I don't know how you pronounce this, Nexuiz?
Nexuiz?
N-E-X-U-I-Z.
N-E-X-U-I-Z?
Yeah. Nexuiz?
Nexuiz.
Nexuiz.
Whatever.
Yeah, that's it.
That's it? All right. So, so let's I guess we'll do this. Our game of the year, 10 through 6.
How are we doing this? You want to go back and forth? You want to do your list
and mine?
We'll
go back and forth. What's your number 10?
My number 10, and I'm fudging it a little bit, because part of this came out in 2010, but really it was 2011, I'll say. I'm going to give it to Back to the Future.
Interesting. The Back to the Future game as a whole?
Yes.
Now,
I really, really enjoyed it.
I really like the story. I actually never beat episode 5 yet.
I thought you said you did, you liar.
No.
No.
When did I say that?
I don't know. When I asked you, did you ever beat it? And you were like, yeah.
I said, oh, not true.
Okay.
Either I lied to you, which I don't know why I would do that.
Probably just to shut me up.
Maybe, you know, it's very possible. But I liked a lot. My problem was it was just very simple with the adventure elements.
I'll admit the puzzles weren't the hardest thing ever or anything, but I just...
Day of the Tentacle it wasn't.
Right, but I just really enjoyed the story of it, honestly.
I think the standard for great puzzles in an adventure game would have to be Day of the Tentacle.
Yeah.
Just because of all the cool things you do with the time traveling.
Right, right, right.
I saw Adventure Gamer, that's the site, right? They did like a list. It was like the 100 best adventure games of all time.
Mm-hmm.
It was kind of interesting.
What was number one?
Grim Fandango.
Excellent.
Which, you know, that should be number one on the list of best video games of all time.
Right.
much less adventure games. But, no, I liked Back to the Future. It's not on my list, but...
Right, well, what's your
name? Well, my number 10 is Catherine.
Uh-huh.
Which I think you had no interest in.
None whatsoever.
But I thought it was a really cool, interesting game. And I like the puzzle aspect, like the meat and bones of the gameplay, I did enjoy that a lot.
Yeah.
And it was fun, and it was very satisfying to
beat.
I
would just like to remind everyone who balks at these Soul Calibur ads to go look at your cover art for Catherine.
at least
keep it all fair.
No, but no. It's, that's completely different, because sex is an important part of Catherine.
I understand. I'm just saying.
Not Soul Calibur, it's just here's tits. But I really did like that whole weird box pushing thing, and like it's a very pure game when you do that. Then you had the kind of interesting weird, I don't want to say date sim aspect, but that whole telephone bar thing. It was just an interesting game, something that you remember.
Fair enough.
What's your number 9?
Super Mario 3D Land.
Oh yeah.
Should I even put this on your list?
Yeah, I kind of forgot about it. I don't think I would put it on my list. I wouldn't.
I was waffling between putting this and Bastion on my list.
That's interesting, because I'll say right now, Bastion's my number 9.
Oh, there you go.
So we can talk about both.
Almost the same.
Yeah.
I don't know. Like, I went back and forth on it a little bit. It's one of those things that I'll probably, like, if I think about it next week, I'll be like, I should have said Bastion. I mean, not that this ultimately matters.
Right.
But,
quick, call the president.
We need to issue a redaction.
No, number 9's Bastion now. I know. Call the AP.
But, I mean, Super Mario 3D Land was great because... It's the first game that, like, made the 3DS make sense or
at least
legitimate.
A 3D.
Yeah, like, it was the 3DS's Kirby Canvas Curse to me.
Yeah, I agree.
The first game you play, you're like, all right, I understand why I paid $250 for this thing now. As long as they keep making games like this.
Right.
I mean, the use of 3D is phenomenal. It's a great mix of...
The old school. And
like, Mario 3 and World with Galaxies. Which are, like, the best Marios.
Right. Well, and I just like the way that it kind of... It is a 3D platform, but it has a lot of the ideas of the old games, like...
The linearity of a level.
The linearity, the way the upgrades work again.
Yeah.
And a 3D Mario platform is just always a lot of fun to play.
Right.
And it worked very well in the 3DS.
Yes.
They always do a great job with that fixed camera.
Yeah. You never have to worry about the camera in that game at all. Yeah. Which I think is impressive.
Don't need the extra gamepad there, huh? What do they call it?
The Circle Pad Pro.
The Circle
Exclusive
Pad
to
Pro.
GameStop.
Exclusive to GameStop. Because it matters. But yeah, I went with Bastion number 9. I like Bastion a lot.
Bastion's great.
Yeah, I love that art style. I love the whole narration.
I think is one of the most underrated innovations in gaming of 2011.
Just that kind of...
Like, I can't believe no one's pulled that off until now.
Right.
The way they did.
But I like those kind of top-down... hack and slash sort of things with like a lot of upgrading and whatnot, a lot of reasons to play, and there's a decent amount of extra things to do. The story was pretty cool, if a little, you know, it's a very high, I don't say high fantasy, but it's very much you can make up your own rules as you go along sometimes.
Right, right, right.
But it was still cool.
I just remember because when we first heard about that game, I think a lot of people assumed like, oh, it's got this narrator. Like, people thought like it'd be like, he swings his sword again. He were like he would narrate everything.
Right.
It started like that, but like it kind of rolls off and just doing the important stuff.
You know?
It's very smart.
And it was a good way. He never repeated himself.
Exactly. That's, I think, the most important thing. Mm-hmm. Even in SWTOR, you'll notice when you pick like when you have a more generic answer to something, like, you know, I'll see this through. Your guy will say, I'll see this through.
Yeah, he keeps repeating himself. Things. Yeah, it's kind of like a... Even if that, I think that game just got like a world record for the most voice.
Yeah, most
recorded.
Voice acting in any entertainment.
Yeah, interesting.
Medium or something.
But no, Bastion's just a very pretty game. It's a very fun game. Very pure stuff.
Yep.
I was a big fan.
All right.
Number 8.
Deus Ex Human Revolution.
That's my number 8.
Wow, we're so in sync.
As you said that, I got all excited. I was like, hey, wait a sec. Yeah.
Wait. Yeah, that is what I wrote down.
All right.
What I like about this game the best is there were a lot of comparisons to Fallout 3 in a way, which I don't think are the most apt, but the way I play Fallout 3 and the way I play Deus Ex, the kind of stealthy, sneak-around character, those two parallel very well.
Now, I played those games very differently. My Fallout character was much more just run and gun. I feel like Deus Ex, I played it stealth too. I don't think it would be as much fun if you weren't playing it stealth.
Well, I was playing run and gun, and I hated it. And
right.
Then I started again on stealth when I got my OnLive copy, and it's a lot better.
No, exactly. I think you really do need to
do
stealth. That's
the way to play it.
Because the stealth works really well in this game.
Now, and, you know, everyone complains about the bosses, and yeah, it's a low point in the game for sure.
But you can get through them.
There's only four of them.
Yeah, it's not a huge deal.
Right. But, I mean, the game looked great. It had a fantastic sense of
style. I don't
know if
the game looked great. The character models were a little...
I mean, like, the art style of the game. Like,
yeah,
like
it was a fun world to walk around in.
Yeah, it was a cool visualization of the future.
Right. I mean, it's basically just two hub worlds. You had Detroit, and then you have, what was it? Was that Hong Kong or...
Something in Asia.
I feel like a racist asshole. Yeah. One of those cities, Beijing.
But, I mean, the game just had a very cool flair to it. Like, remember when I got that ability to let you, like, jump off roofs and soften your landing?
Yeah.
Like, the first time I did it, you were watching, and, like, it actually zoomed out and did the cool, like, landing animation. We're like, oh, that's sweet.
I just enjoy...
I like stuff like that.
I do. I like those kind of Western RPGs where I'm like, oh, you could hack through this, or you could just break through a wall or something. I go for that kind of stuff.
Yeah. Very good game. I like it a lot. Yes.
You're number seven.
I'm number seven, Mortal Kombat.
Hey!
What do you know?
How about that?
That's really something.
I loved Mortal Kombat.
Mortal Kombat.
That was the surprise of the year.
I think that was my biggest surprise of 2011, hands down. The fact that... I mean, how long have we been playing arcade-style fighting games? Since the early 90s. And it took until 2011, nearly 20 years later, that someone figured out how to make an engaging single-player campaign for a fighting game.
You know, it's long. Has a lot of, like, cutscenes. Not that cutscenes are inherently good, but in a fighting game like that, it's like, whoa, that's different. And, you know, they are pretty good.
Yeah, it's entertaining.
Yeah, it's cool because...
I mean, it's not Shakespeare, but...
And it does... Yeah, exactly. And it does a neat thing because it plays off this whole... It's like this weird retelling of Mortal Kombat 1, 2, and 3 with slight differences because of some, you know,
and,
time travel.
And I think that's part of the fun because we all kind of know that story because we read the instruction manual.
Yeah, but like we never really saw it acted out that well.
Yeah, we never really saw it in the game. So now it's like, oh, like this is what was going on back then.
Right, so it was really cool to like see the first Mortal Kombat tournament and there's everybody there and whatnot.
Right.
And then you can even add things that weren't there. Like you had the human Cyrax and Sektor. Like I was always kind of strangely invested in the weird Mortal Kombat lore.
I was too. I think just because I played it a lot.
And
so
I was like,
you got into it.
Right. You wanted to know. Like everybody know that Liu Kang won the first Mortal Kombat.
Right. Even though like there's no way you would know that just from playing the games. But, you know, you figure it out.
Right.
And then just, I mean, beyond the single player stuff, I mean, it was just a good fighting game.
It was.
It was a ton of fun.
And I don't know if it'll ever, you know, make it to the competitive scene. I don't really care.
And that's the thing. I don't care. Like, everyone's like, oh, like, they'll never play this at EVO. I'm like, I'm never
going
to EVO.
Are you going to EVO?
Yeah. Never. I don't even play it online. As long as I can play it on a couch with you, that's all I care about.
Exactly. And it looked real good, too.
Yeah, it was gorgeous. I mean, Unreal 3 Engine.
X-Ray moves are cool.
Yeah.
Fatalities are cool again.
Yeah, that's the thing, too. I think after they kind of tried to, like, make teen-rated Mortal Kombats for a couple of years, and it was like, what the hell are you doing?
Right.
And everything, like, not only was it impressive that they came back with, like the full-blown M-rated stuff, but they managed to be gross a couple times.
Yeah.
Which
really
you feel like
they
couldn't
surprise
do,
you.
Do
yeah.
anymore, but they pull it off.
Yeah. That was great stuff. All right.
All right, number six. Let's see if we can finish up.
I doubt it.
Here. I doubt it, too. My number six is Sonic Generations.
I won't say mine because that's not it, but
okay.
Go ahead.
Hallelujah, praise the Lord, a Sonic game made it on my top 10 for the year.
I'm surprised it's that high even.
I loved it. I absolutely loved that game. Aside from the final boss, which is absolute garbage.
The worst final boss ever, maybe.
Pretty much.
But
even the other bosses were either good to great. The first boss, I thought, was Classic Sonic, was fantastic.
Yeah, I wish there was more Classic Sonic bosses because
right.
you fight like the rest of them as New
Sonic. And there, yeah. But yeah, I mean... It hit all the nostalgia notes it needed to hit. I mean, it was an unfortunate kind of side effect of Sonic as a whole that the more you played the game, the less nostalgia there was.
Right.
Because it's like, I never fucking played
Sonic
Colors this
City.
Far. I don't
yeah.
know what this is.
Yeah.
This is from Sonic Heroes. I couldn't get past the second world because I kept falling through the floor, but right. Okay.
Oh, the Sonic Heroes, those all just blend together. But, you know, the first three levels were the
first
best.
Three were, I mean, going through Chemical Plant Zone
that was awesome.
As, in Act 2 as modern Sonic was one of my gaming highlights of 2011. I sat there literally with my mouth hanging open thinking how cool this was. Because when you played Sonic 2 as a kid, you tried to think what it would look like from Sonic's perspective, and that was pretty much it.
Right.
They nailed it. The soundtrack is fantastic. I enjoyed all the unlockables. I had a lot of fun actually getting different soundtracks.
They do a good job with the unlockables and those kind of extra things you do.
Mm-hmm. I just thought it was really fun. Like, I really, really liked it. It looks gorgeous. It looks absolutely gorgeous. Like, they did it. They finally made a good Sonic game.
I wonder if those... You think,
now, can they maintain?
I
don't,
I want to know what they're going to do now, but who knows?
I know, because then they interview the one guy. He's like, well, you know... We won't necessarily go back to the old Sonic, but maybe we'll do that. It's like, no, just fucking do that again. Please, contrive another reason for time travel, and they go to different zones.
Don't even worry about the story this time. Yeah, just do it.
Just do it, please.
We don't need that cutscene again with Sonic talking to all of his stupid friends. My six is Ghost Detective, or Phantom...
Dragon.
Ghost Detective Phantom Trick. No.
No, Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. I haven't even played it, and I know what it's called.
I don't know why. I just really...
You stopped and thought about it and still fucked it up.
Ghost Trick.
Tell me about Ghost Phantom Deck.
I really liked that game.
Did you know?
No, it was... I've been praising this game.
You have.
Largely this entire year. But it is... It is probably the best adventure game I've played since Grim Fandango.
Wow.
Incredibly unique adventure game, too. And like, the way they handle adventure game, it gets rid of a lot of the problems because you don't pixel hunt or things like that. You know, it's this very weird and unique sort of thing of just trying to travel through items and manipulating them. It was written very well. Great characters, especially Missile the dog. He's probably my favorite game character in a long, long time. Wow. But very cool, kind of almost rotoscope-looking art style. That was just a fantastic game. If you haven't checked that one out yet, you need to. Ghost Trick Phantom Detective. There we go.
There you go.
I also got a game, too, where there never needs to be a sequel. It's cool. It was.
I like games like that, where you could just play and be like, all right, I'm done. Like, that was great.
Yeah.
Okay, so that was 10 through 6. Next week, we'll announce 5 through 1. So we're going to run our first ever Exploding Barrel podcast contest.
Oh, man.
I have an invite to the Dota 2 beta to give away on Steam. I called it a Steam key, and my mom thought I said stinky.
What's a stinky?
I was like, no, mom.
No,
anyway.
Steam key.
So.
Do you want to win our Dota 2 stinky?
No, Steam key. Anyway, you can probably, if you've listened to this show at all in the last, really, 3 months, you could probably pretty well guess our approximate top 5 for each of us. Now, what we're going to ask all of you to do is leave a comment on the show post on ebpodcast.com. You make 2 lists, one for myself, one for Mike, that you think is going to be our top 5 games in the correct order for 2011. For each one you get right, be it mine or Mike's, you get 1 entry into the contest. So you can get a maximum of 2 entries. Then after
could it be a maximum
week,
of 10 entries?
No, 2.
2.
2. If you get mine right, you get yours.
Are you just doing the number 1?
No, they have to get the whole list right.
That sounds really hard. The whole list?
There's going to be a caveat at the end. Just let me finish. All right. I'll write all this up on the site.
It sounds complicated.
It's not. You just have to guess our list. If you guess it right, you get an entry. If nobody guesses right, then just everybody goes into a general random pool, and I'll pull a name regardless. So if you get it right, you really increase your chances of winning here. I don't know how badly anyone wants a Dota 2 key, but I figured why not? I got to get rid of it. So just leave a comment with your list. Like I said, I won't say what our top 5 are, but I'm pretty sure you can guess what they are at this point. I think you and I have the same 5. We just we still don't even know
I
our
just,
order
yes,
yet.
Yeah,
we're wrestling.
Yeah,
with it.
I can tell it's probably the same 5 games.
Mm-hmm. So yeah, you could win the first ever Exploding Barrel contest.
All right then, sounds good. Is that it?
Yes.
Oh, I guess we got to do our weekend. I haven't played anything, have I?
Well, we played SWTOR some more, but we did something I think worth.
Oh, we didn't talk about the Flashpoint yet.
No, we did our first Flashpoint, the Acellus mission. Now, what a flashpoint is in SWTOR's parlance, it's an instance, but it's a very story-focused instance. Like, this felt like a mission right out of Mass Effect or something, you know?
Right.
But you're playing it multiplayer. You could have a party of up to 4 people. We played it, you, me, and our brother Chris, and then we just kept T7 in the party with us to fill out the 4th role. And this completely blew my mind.
It was definitely the best thing I played in the game. It was like the first thing I played in the game that I said, yeah, this is definitely better than the way WoW handles this.
Yeah. Like, just the way it presents the story, and of course, what makes it super fun is the way everybody gets to participate in the conversations.
And it does a cool part of, like, sometimes recognizing your party makeup. Like, there was a part where we ran into a Sith. This is the coolest part. And the Sith, like, you know, oh, I'm a badass. I'm going to fight the Jedi. And
well, he's like, oh, finally, some Jedi to test my strength. And, well, we should say real quick, because I'm a Jedi.
You and Chris are Jedis.
Chris is a knight. You're a smuggler.
I'm a smuggler. So, and my character, like, my character is one option for you. Basically, something like, hey, all right, I'll let you guys handle this then. That's cool.
No, you said this, like, I'll just step back and let you and the Jedi handle this. Right. Or
and then he likes, like, you coward. Your Jedi friends will feel when your pathetic heart stops beating. I was like, oh, man.
Like, it was just, like, it was very cool because, like, it just felt like it was all in character. It flowed very perfectly. I like the way how they handle conversations in a party in this game. There's basically, you're just dice rolling to see who gets to be the official response of everybody. You'll still get light side or dark side points based on your individual choice, but like the group choice will go with whoever wins the role. And I delight in, because your character will never turn down an opportunity to take credits.
Right.
And I will always take an opportunity to say no reward is necessary.
Which infuriates me to no
end. And it's great whenever I win, because it just pisses you off so much.
Like, ah, god damn it. But it was really cool. And, you know, and largely it's like, you know, any kind of dungeon in an MMO. You're just fighting through mobs, and then there's a boss every now and again. But the presentation was much better.
And this had that.
Yeah, yeah.
But you just had story, which was really good.
In fact, I just got another one, which I want to play through now.
Yeah, we'll probably do it tonight. So you also did your first space mission. I haven't done one yet.
I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's fun. It seems like a lot of the entertainment would come from having to upgrade your ship to get through more of them. But it's very simple. You know, it's just you use your mouse, you move around, and you shoot at
Star Fox.
The weird thing about it is that there is absolutely no place for a social aspect of it.
Yeah, can you even play the multiplayer?
I don't think so.
I don't think so. Yeah,
I'll see how it works.
Weird.
So it's weird because it literally is like playing through a bonus game or something like that.
Right.
It's
like
neat.
The tourist sections from KOTOR.
Right. And you can get, like, you get a decent amount of experience doing them sometimes. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting. And I don't want to say it seems out of place, but it's different. It's kind of fun. It's just,
right.
It's like I said, it's a weird thing to see an MMO, something that just literally has no social aspect whatsoever.
Yeah.
You just kind of go out and do it.
Craft ship parts, I guess.
Right? Yeah, that's about it.
That's the other thing I want to talk about again, because we kind of really got into it this week, is the crafting aspect of the game. I like it how it's just your companions really handle the crafting. So, like, now that we all have more than one companion, we could constantly be crafting no matter what we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And it's you don't fall behind in it. Because, like, in WoW, I always eventually, like I'd always pick herbalism, for example. But I wouldn't, like, obsessively pick every herb because I'm trying to play the game.
Right.
Then eventually I'd just get to a zone where no matter what herb it was, I couldn't pick it. And I wasn't about to go back and just grind herb picking. And I would just never keep up with crafting as a result.
No, I think crafting is handled pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good.
I mean, the best thing I could say about this game right now is it's the first MMO I've played in 7 years where as I'm playing it, I'm not in the back of my head saying to myself, I should just be playing WoW right now. Like, it is... It's really good. I really, really like it.
Yes, I'll at least be playing it probably until Diablo 3 comes out. All right, then. Anything else we play? I don't really think so.
Scramble with Friends came out on iPhone.
That's okay. Let's just get to the releases, which there are not a whole lot of.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, I don't even know if I want to talk about any of these. Just a bunch of weird downloadable and iOS games, so nope. I guess there's no releases as far as I know.
No video games coming out, anybody.
All right. Well, then, that's the first. Like, I had nothing.
Yeah, is that ever
it's weird. Nope. Nothing I want to talk about. Okay. All right, everyone. Thanks for listening to the Exploding Barrel Podcast. You can find more of us at ebpodcast.com. Don't forget to try to enter that contest AJ was talking about. And, of course, we're on the iTunes Music Store. Follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/Exploding Barrel, facebook.com/Exploding Barrel. We are a part of the Couchbound Network at couchbound.net. And that's it. We'll see you next week right here on the Exploding Barrel Podcast. Bye.
Bye.
The Exploding Barrel Podcast is now part of the Couchbound Network. Check out couchbound.net for new episodes of the Exploding Barrel Podcast, along with other podcasts featuring all kinds of geeky, nerdy stuff.